Week 4 is in the books, and the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast takes stock as district races start to heat up. Is Mansfield Lake Ridge a state championship contender just 4 years into its program's history after beating area number one Lancaster? Can anyone stop Plano from climbing up the state's all-time consecutive win list, now at 47 games and counting after dismantling rival Plano? Matt, Avi, Greg, and Corbett talk about all the action from Week 4. Plus, we interview Plano East's Joey McCullough, whose team is off to a fast 4-0 start. We also preview a huge slate of games that are potential district deciders on the Week 5 schedule. We've got all that and more coming up on the podcast. The Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast here with a good-sized crew. No Rhiannon Walker still. That's very sad. But Avi Zalen's here.
On her. That's not really a great consolation prize at all.
Well, we love you, Avi. You're the best. Matt Wixon I don't think he's ever missed one of these things. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
The Cal Ripken of podcasts.
That's right. It's awesome. Yeah. And Greg Riddle. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. Week 4. It was a pretty exciting week.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting goings on, and we'll talk about the takeaways from Week 4, and then preview what is a very packed Week 5. A lot of really good games coming up this week. Plus, we have an interview with Coach Joey McCullough of Plano East, the 4-0 Plano East, which not a lot of people saw coming. And we'll talk to him a little bit about that. Matt,
you were
at the big-time showdown in 14-5A between Mansfield Lake Ridge and Lancaster. And that kind of turned out to be a dud because Lancaster just, you know, they couldn't hold on to the ball in the first quarter. Their first two offensive plays resulted in two fumbles, one of which was a scoop and score, and then they threw an interception at the 1 yard line later in the first quarter that was picked.
It was a 1 yard interception return.
1 yard interception return. There on Ryan Ross, the quarterback from Lancaster, who had a good night. You know, his numbers were pretty good, but those three turnovers. They go in a 21-0 hole and end up losing 48-27. If my math is correct, that's 21 points right there.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's advanced.
That would have been it.
That was double digits.
But, I mean, they would have been right in that ball game. They moved the ball pretty well, but they just dug themselves too big of a hole to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that it was kind of the big-time showdown in 14-5A. I think we could have that every week in 14-5A. There are so many good teams in that district. But, Lancaster, I mean – they were down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, and at that point, you know, it's just a mountain they're climbing, trying to fight back into it. And I thought both teams had points or moments in that game when they looked really impressive, looked like the kind of teams that can make deep playoff runs. Lancaster, they have so much speed at receiver. And like you said, Ryan Ross did a pretty good job getting the ball to them.
Yeah, Cantrell Thomas, Tyrell Alexander, Mark Mims, all of them looked pretty good.
Very fast, and they did a lot of good things. And Lancaster's defense was pretty good at times. But it came down to it where that's five turnovers total for Lancaster in that game. And even when Lancaster got a little bit of momentum in the second half, they had another one where the ball was ripped away,
right,
ended a possession. And you can't give the ball away five times and beat a very good team. And I think Lake Ridge is a very good team. And their coach, Kirk Thor, was pretty fired up afterwards.
Hey, he was fired up.
He was. All he was right. Very fired up going up through the locker room, you know, congratulating and thanking his players for their efforts and everything like that. And he said after the game, he said, every game in this district feels like three games. You know, he's exhausted. He thought he'd be like 10 years older by the end of the season because it's just war. You know, I think before going into last week, we had six of their teams in our top 10
right.
in 5A.
And I think we might still have five.
Right. Then one of those teams got upset by Waxahachie, got upset by, if you want to call it an upset, we don't know. Waxahachie has a new quarterback, but Mansfield Legacy was unranked and they came in and won. So, yeah, I mean, I think when you're moving forward from that game, Lake Ridge obviously feels good. You got to get a step up in that district, and Lancaster probably feels like, you know, what could we have done if we had just not shot ourselves in the foot repeatedly so early in that game?
Where do you put Lake Ridge now as far as state title hopes? Are they a legitimate state title contender?
I think they're legitimate. I mean, they have enough speed. You know, their defense looked pretty good at times. At the start, when Lancaster kind of started battling back, I thought maybe they didn't have enough speed to handle those Lancaster receivers, but they did a better job as the game went on. I like their running back by committee.
Right.
They got a nice combination of speed and power, and their quarterback,
Jed Duffy.
Jed Duffy. He didn't have big numbers in that game, but he you know, he's a guy, definitely what you would call like a very good high school quarterback. He's going to Tech, or he's committed to Tech, and he didn't have to do a lot of sensational things in that game. But, you know, while the other team was turning the ball over five times, he controlled things. He was a good game manager, made some key runs, didn't have a lot of yards, but made some.
He's an electric runner if he gets a chance to break.
And he throws the ball real well. Yep. So, yeah, I definitely think they're a legitimate state contender.
Well, out of that district, you talk about some other heavy hitters. Mansfield Timberview beats Arlington Seguin 48-14. Devin Williams with a big night there. Mansfield Summit improves to 4-0, and they've vaulted up into our rankings. Braden Nolan, the quarterback, rushes for a touchdown, throws for three more. Big night there. But the story of Friday night was the Mansfield Legacy Waxahachie game, a game that I erroneously said was in double overtime, when in fact it was a just standard regulation game.
You could have figured it by the score.
It's 73-66. Legacy pulls out the win. That's Waxahachie's first loss. Legacy improves to 3-1. Their lone loss of the season is to Lovejoy. And they had a tremendous performance by their quarterback, Kendall Catalan, who throws for 270 yards and five touchdowns. Cameron Session rushes for 220 and three touchdowns. Trenton McDonald with three touchdown catches, almost 200 yards receiving. That is a stunning turn of events. Now, granted, we knew that Waxahachie was going to have some major hills to climb, losing their quarterback, Jordan Kitna. But Jordan Kitna is not a safety or a linebacker.
Yeah.
That 73 points is,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of points to give up. And that Legacy team, I think, would have been my choice for maybe sixth in that district, maybe even seventh behind Waxahachie at the start of the year. Legacy is going to get a good test this week. We'll talk about that in part three. But what does that mean for the future of Waxahachie, who's got a tough road ahead? I think they play Lake Ridge this week.
I think they better shore up the defense. But, yeah, I mean, we were thinking the same things, talking about it during that game. We knew Kitna was out, so I thought maybe it'd be a hard time for them scoring. The upside is, no, they can still score
quite
well.
They can still score a lot of
points.
But, yeah,
like you said, Jordan Kitna wasn't playing any defense, and their defense really struggled in that game.
That was the opener for a 14-5A district play. Another district that was opening up district play was 11-6A, had some really interesting games there. Lakeview Centennial Rowlett was the game I think a lot of people were watching, since Centennial was off to a hot 3-0 start, and Rowlett's lone loss was to Keller, who's unbeaten. And it was Rowlett pulling off the win. Logan Bonner with three passing touchdowns. Kobe Morrow rushed for 193 yards and four scores, and they win 48-40. But you look at what Kendall Miller's built there at Lakeview Centennial, and you've got to like, you know, they're still in that mix for a potential playoff spot. You know, putting up 40 against Rowlett's, that's a pretty good showing.
Yeah, they're definitely in the mix. And I think that district's a little better as a whole than I thought they were going to be. I think Garland's playing pretty well. Rowlett's looking pretty good. Saxey's playing really well. And so that's going to be interesting going down the line.
Saxey with 35 unanswered points. They were down 41-31 against Tyler Lee on the road. They were at home on Thursday, and they scored 35 unanswered to win 66-41. The story of the game, really, Jalen Maiden, the quarterback, goes 28 of 33 for 540 yards, six touchdowns, rushes for a touchdown. Three of those touchdowns were to a guy named Devin Duvernay, who catches nine passes for 222 yards. That dude can scoot.
Well, he's extremely
fast. He's a state champion in the 100 meters, wasn't he?
Yes, he was at a 10.21 or something. It was a smoking time.
Yeah, he's got scholarships pretty much wherever he wants to go to school. And Jalen Maiden's only a sophomore.
Only a sophomore, the younger brother of their safety, Jared Maiden.
Another big recruit.
Oregon. Yeah.
So a talented family and a talented team. The question is, can they play enough defense as we move forward? They're always in shootouts.
It's kind of like the whole district.
The whole district is kind of crazy like that. Rockwell with a big performance against North Garland. They pick up their first win, 57 points. And Garland scores 57 against Namath Forest.
Garland's Jacoby
up
Williams.
Some, huge passing numbers for their usually run-oriented team.
Jacoby Williams set a school record with five touchdown passes in that game.
301 in the air.
And somebody did mention to me, I put that up last night, and they said, does Garland even usually attempt five passes in a game? And I'm like, well, that's... No, they've been a run oriented over their history, a long history for Garland. But you know, in recent years, they've had
they had a kid named Seth Russell, who is
the starter at
Baylor.
And also now I remembered his name all morning. Went to Iowa State from just a few years ago. Was their quarterback, And dang it, it just escapes me. I even put it in the story.
John Kitna wants to have 5 passing touchdowns in the first half. So
Jared Barnett, okay. Iowa State.
Boom. Yeah. Rockwell Heath and Mesquite Poteet in 12-5A. Poteet with a big win there, 14-3. Well, I mean, it's a low-scoring game. I saw a score this week. I think Trimble Tech beat somebody. I think they beat Samuel 7-0 on Saturday.
Yeah.
That does not happen anymore.
That was one of a...
The game was called 4 minutes.
Was there like a rain cloud that set right over that field and just a deluge?
That was one of those games where it's like I had to like email the guy at the game just to make sure, like, hey, is everything going okay with your live play-by-play? just making sure you're checking. He's like, yep, this is what you sent me to.
Yeah, I think they 7-0
called Bishop Dunn for a points loan after the game from that 90-pointer.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
Golly.
Big bounce back for Poteet, who had struggled in non-district. They were 1-2 coming into this game. Now they're sitting pretty in that district. There's some other teams like Terrell and West Mesquite that will have something to say about that. Let's talk about some districts that had already been going on. How about Plano and Allen?
That was a tough one for Plano.
It got to the point where we reported that they had Allen had forced 8 turnovers, and there was even controversy about whether it was 8 turnovers or 9 turnovers.
The Allen people are contending that it's 9 turnovers. Right. We have 8 turnovers in our box, 5 fumbles, 3 picks.
Was one on downs? Some people call those on downs.
I think what it was I talked to Josh Friemel, who does our live scoring for pretty much every Allen game and is super reliable, and he said there was an interception that got called back.
Okay.
And in a lot of people's minds, I guess they kind of forgot.
Maybe at the end of the game, Plano just threw the ball up in there and said, enough with this.
Oh, my God, though.
65-0, which I think is the worst loss in Plano school history, or at least certainly in recent history.
Worst I can remember.
Yeah. And you look at what Allen did. They had a 70-yard interception return by Anthony Taylor, a 34-yard interception return by Jacob Yandel, their linebacker, and then a 32-yard fumble return by Tate Kaplinger adds to the point haul.
Well, it's just, I mean, obviously Allen was a big favorite going into that game, and then when you're the underdog and you start turning the ball over, it's just exacerbates everything.
Looks like Seth Green has also submitted the starting quarterback job.
Yeah. Hey, and he hasn't had to put up tremendous numbers, but what is very interesting is I didn't necessarily think of him as the more mobile of the two, but he's had back-to-back 100-yard rushing performances. He rushed for 126 yards and a score, only threw for 112 yards and a touchdown, also threw a pick. But Allen's running attack was very potent, 5 players with rushing touchdowns in that game. They improved to 4-0. That is the 47th consecutive win.
One note on that, if they win this week, they will tie Lake Travis for the 4th longest winning streak in state history.
Wow.
And they'll be 1 win away from the 2nd longest.
There you go. And they'll be trailing Salina if they can make it through the season. And that Salina team was...
They'll still have 20 wins to go to catch Salina.
Yeah, that Salina team. I say team. Those teams, collectively, the 5 years of excellence.
And the fact that Brandon Stevens is such a talented running back, committed to Stanford, and he had been just eating up defenses all year long, and then he runs into Allen, and they hold him to 64 yards. I mean, that's just – you can't say enough about Allen's defensive performance.
Well, let's talk about the other team that has been dominating 6-6A, and that is Flower Mound Marcus. 24-7 over Hebron. Very just crushing defensive performance. Hebron had negative 1 yards at halftime. And you look at what Marcus is doing, they're doing kind of like what they've been doing the last couple of years, but to a heightened level, playing good defense. Their quarterback has been pretty solid. He did throw 2 picks this week. Nate Hopkins, though, rushed for 189 yards and 2 scores. And Caden Smith did not have a receiving touchdown all season last year, and he's the Stanford commit tight end who is very talented. He has 6 in 4 games now. He had 5 going in, and he had a touchdown and 112 yards. They improved to 4-0, and they look like a really good potential contender to Allen. We'll talk about the week's game coming up in Part 3. We'll talk a little bit in Part 2 to Coach Joey McCullough about Plano East's win over Plano West. They improved to 4-0 with a 36-8, very convincing win. Miklos Smalls throws for 306 and 2 scores. And in the upset, I think maybe the upset of the weekend, That's Flower Mound picking up their first win of the season over McKinney Boyd, a team that I think all of us rated pretty highly, especially after their season opening win against Horn.
Mm-hmm.
But they win 28-27. Nice win there.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that comes down to in that district, it's going to be real tight for those probably the third and fourth playoff spots. And every win you can get is going to be huge. And Boyd, I thought they were a playoff team when it started, but Flower Mound, they're an improving team, and now they can make a move towards something.
In another district that is already going on, and that is 9-5A, things have kind of started to settle out a little bit. You can see that the teams that are kind of showing themselves as potential playoff teams. Frisco Lone Star, 41-14 over Liberty. They improved to 4-0, 2-0 in district. A couple of Thursday night results. Man, how about Frisco? 31-21 over the Colony after the Colony's big win over Heritage to start the week or start the district play last week. But they're 4-0. Idris Ali rushes for 227 and two scores. And then Centennial beats Heritage 54-33. Heritage, a team that I thought was one of the favorites in that district, they fall to 0-2 and really have a deep hole to dig out of to make the playoffs. Anthony Pegues, that guy is a machine.
Yeah.
254 and three TDs.
Yeah, very impressive performance.
And now it's like you have, I think it's kind of solidified to an extent that Frisco Centennial, and Frisco Lone Star are all kind of looking the best out of the gate. And again, we'll talk about more later, but Frisco gets Centennial this week, and with two really potent rushing attacks, I think that's going to be an interesting matchup.
It really looks like it could be. Now, in non-district play, we did have some good games. Cedar Hill played Coppell, hosted them. A nice win for Cedar Hill, but certainly didn't blow the doors off of Coppell, which is to be expected. Coppell's a bunch. That's 36-21. Avery Davis with 250 and two scores, also rushed for a touchdown in that game. You had Euless Trinity beating Galena Park North Shore at Baylor Stadium. They win 42-32. Jayron Wilson rushes for 254. And four touchdowns. Tyler Nati with a rushing touchdown and over 100 yards as well. But I was at the Thursday night DeSoto and Cibolo Steel game in Belton. The Cibolo Steel holds on 35-33. They make a couple of key first downs to keep the clock rolling there in the final minutes to keep the ball away from DeSoto, who tried an onside kick with about 4 minutes to go, didn't get it, and then did not get the ball back.
And they're still number 9 in our rankings. I love that.
I think that's low.
I mean, look at the teams they've lost to.
Yeah,
I know right. Martin has fallen back a little bit, but that was a really inspired effort in that opener. And then IMG Academy, which is like a national all-star team.
And they're 4-0, and they just beat Bergen County in New Jersey.
Right.
Take that, game. Jersey.
And then Cibolo Steel.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Very good team. Number 4 in the state rankings, I think.
Yeah, they were number 4 in my poll last week. I think they were 5th overall, but they'll probably move up with that win.
I think DeSoto gets KD Nixon back this week. It could be
right. And.
D. Anderson.
Interesting goings on.
Possibly.
Wednesday, there's going to be a special SEC meeting, State Executive Committee meeting. He gets his second hearing in front of the UIL, which is it's unheard of in my time here. I've never heard of a kid getting there, but new things have come to light, obviously. And we'll see if D. Anderson, who is the West Mesquite transfer.
LSU commit.
Let's see if he can take the field. I mean, if they get a couple of guys back, they are also missing Josiah Washington, one of their tackles. They're a little bit banged up, and if they can get some guys back, I don't think there's any question that they can make a nice run there for Coach Peterman and turn that around. Takeaways from week 4. Matt, anything that you can think of that you say, yeah, I can say with some, definitiveness, Plano East looks like the best team in Plano, that's like a reversal from a year ago.
Yeah, I think Plano East is the class of the three Plano schools. I still think they're a good tier below Allen, but and maybe even Marcus, although I get to see Allen and Marcus this week. That'll be interesting. The other thing, my takeaway would be that Frisco High, I love that they stick with what they do. And, the Colony's a little bit like them, too, with that with that run and attack. But Frisco, that's a really solid win over the Colony.
Running that slot T and just grinding up yards. Love it.
And that And again, if you don't have a lot of time but you want to see some good football, Frisco versus Frisco Centennial this week.
And it starts at 7.
And it starts at 7.
It should be out of there by 9.
Yeah. We need to have Frisco play Kennedale. There might be two passes thrown the entire game.
Yep. We call that the deadline bowl.
A couple of other takeaways. Bishop Dunn is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Dunn 90-0 over Roosevelt.
Too good to be scheduling
and probably
Roosevelt.
Could have scored, you know, a good bit more.
I don't think any single player actually scored more than like – I mean, there wasn't, like, one guy who scored, like, 6 touchdowns. I just remember looking over that statue. It was fairly balanced, given that they scored.
They've certainly moved up in punching weight and probably need to play a little bit tougher
schedule. I was
going to
say,
I think when realignment comes, I think their non-district will change quite a bit.
Yeah. Randy Jackson doing his magic, 21-20 over an unbeaten Fort Worth Arlington Heights. That improves Grapevine to 3-1. That's a pretty nice start there for Grapevine.
That is. That's a program that he knew was going to take some work when he went into there, and it's kind of what he did, you know, at Poteet years ago. And we'll see how it goes going forward.
A potential opponent for Bishop Dunn. Let's set this game up for next year, and that's Salina. 51-14 over Bishop Lynch. That's a really nice win, a number one team in our 4A others poll. Continues to look very impressive. Connor Pingleton, their quarterback, has looked great. And Mansfield ISD, I will contend, might be the strongest district.
Good Lord.
For a school district as far as in regards to its football teams. Lakeridge is 4-0, Summit is 4-0, Timberview 3-1, Legacy 3-1, and Mansfield High is 2-2, had a real big win over Fort Worth Eastern Hills on Thursday night. But yeah, that's a pretty good football district.
Yeah, combine all of those players into one school like Allen and see how many titles
they had. Like 20,000
students in week one podcast.
Blow people out.
And like only 4 of them are going to get in the playoffs. Like that's going to be one of those districts that you look at and you go, oh man, that team was really good and now they got to sit at home.
Well, Mansfield could get in the playoffs. They're a 6A team. But the other ones could end up sweeping that district. It could be a real impressive run. Although I'm sure Lancaster and Waxahachie and the other schools will have something to say about that. Okay, well, that is the end of part one. Part two, we'll talk to Plano East coach Joey McCullough, and then part three, we'll preview some games. And for part two, we've got Plano East coach Joey McCullough. Coach, congratulations on such a great start. Not a lot of people had pegged you on a 4-0 start, but here you are.
Well, thank you very much. I the thing is, a lot of people didn't pick us, but I knew our kids, the way they've been working and all the hard work that they've put in, I know they believe in themselves and their coaches also. So it's a great start to the season. Our kids are confident and better than anything, we're pretty healthy.
Were you coming into the season, did you have tremendously high expectations for this bunch? I know you guys took some lumps in your first year going 1-9, but you had a lot of talent coming back.
We did. You know, the thing is, we had our whole receiving core back, and we knew if we kept healthy, especially at the quarterback position, we knew we'd be pretty good. We were young last year. We knew we would be returning around 8 players on defense and around 7 to 8 on the offensive side of the ball, too. And we knew we had some talented guys. We knew with the injection of time, and repetition in the offense and the defense and a couple things that we have done over the past year, we knew that we had a chance to be successful if we could stay healthy.
How is your quarterback done, Miklo Smalls? He's a line of quarterbacks there at East, and he's the next one, the third one in the bunch, but certainly has had a great start to the season.
Well, you know, that before I even came here, before I even had the job, I had heard that he was going to be the best of all of them. And he's a calm, cool customer. He's like an extra coach on the field. Miklo's one of the hardest workers we have. He's one of the most humble individuals I've ever met. You know, he's one of those guys that he plays basketball. He runs the 110 hurdles. He's a 6'1 guy that's 211 pounds. He's strong. You know, and the thing is, he's faster than what he looks like, and he does a heck of a job of throwing the football. And, you know, a lot of times this year he's check protection. He's called, you know, change plays at the line of scrimmage. And any time that you can do that, you know, over 90% of the time, he's going to make you right.
Certainly helps to have 2 great receivers thrown to. He has a bunch of good receivers, but Tim Wilson – He got the stamp of approval from one Evan Grant, a baseball writer who was there watching you guys play Flower Mound, and he said that kid's big, tall, can run and jump, can gather balls in, and then he also has Audie Omotosho on the other side. That's a really dangerous 1-2 combination as you guys move forward.
Yes, sir. I mean, they're both long, and the greatest thing about those two, not only are they great receivers, both of them are great blockers, and things that they do when the ball's not in their hands, that's even more impressive. Both of them, you know, Tim Wilson is a 6'4 guy. He's about 190 pounds. Ran track for us this year. He was the third leg on our sprint relay and with our other young running backs. And he ran a 10.63. He's a 4.4 guy that can really fly. I really enjoy watching Tim run. He's what I call a sexy runner. And Tim has done a great job. He's worked hard in the weight room. And then you got Audie Omotosho. You know, he's 6'3". He's a 4.5 speed guy, maybe not as fast as Timmy, but he's got the explosiveness. You know, he's a 285 power cleaner in the weight room. His work ethic, he's our class president here at Plano East, does a great job in the classroom. But Audie, you know, he can jump out of the ceiling, you know, very explosive individual. At 6'3", can stand and broad jump over 11 foot. So a lot of ability there. Both of those guys put pressure on the defense. And then you throw in Carson Young at 6'5", as your tight end slot, and Cameron Moore and Michael Falorazzo, which have been seeing time, and Zadok Wilson, who's back from last year also, who is starting at free safety but still playing some slot receiver for us.
How important is it getting off to a good start in 6-6A? I know that win over West was huge. You guys, that's the first win over your crosstown rivals in 5 years. But,
yes, sir.
I mean, this is such a difficult district. How important is it to put a couple of wins in the win column as you move forward?
Well, I think it's big, you know, and I think you see it right there with Flower Mound beating McKinney Boyd. I think it's important anytime you can get a win and a win on the road. I was truly concerned about Flower Mound when we went over to play them. Number one, Dane Johnson's done an outstanding job with that program, and you can tell that they're getting better every day. You know, anytime that you can win, and I learned this last year, that anytime that you can win, you better enjoy it, because it's difficult on any given Friday night. You can get beat. In this district, you know, I knew the non-district was very important for us. We set four simple goals. Number one was to go undefeated non-district. I thought that was important for our kids' confidence, their psyche. Second, we wanted to win the city championship, which, we still haven't got all of that yet. We still got one more leg of that on October 9th against Plano. But the third, we want to make the playoffs. And then the fourth on that is, once we make the playoffs, we want to make a deep run. But our kids, we set four simple goals. And we knew going in that we had to get off to a good start, and our kids' confidence, it's growing day by day.
Now, this is a dream job for you at being a Plano East player. Did you open that school, did you not?
Well, I was not on the very first team or so, but I was on the first team that ever won a district ball game here. First team to beat Plano. I was on the playoff teams 84 and 85, which went three rounds deep both years. Matter of fact, I guess my junior year, we beat Dallas Carter. They were the number one ranked team in the country at that time. And so we were part of some big wins here at Plano East, and really, to me, starting the program here at Plano East under Coach Bailey, who was my head coach, and his son is one of my coaches, my offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, Brad Bailey.
Coach, like we mentioned, probably don't need to mention again, but you went 1-9 last year, and I just wanted to ask about your approach in you know, kind of the off season and getting everybody prepared for this year.
Right.
You had a lot of young guys. Was it hard kind of keeping them confident, keeping them looking forward when you were taking some lumps, even though, you know, you knew that you were building for the future and you had a young team and the
right.
best years were to come?
Right. Well, I can tell you right now, I never want to forget it, to be honest with you. I have a hat here in my office that says 1-9 on the bill, and on the bottom of it, it says a season to remember. And a lot of people would like to forget that, but I really believe that that's the edge of remembering where we were and where we came from, that drives our kids to be great. You know, they knew it. I really believe that this program's based on love. You know, they wanted somebody to stay here to love them, to care for them. You know, this is my dream job. And to me, when we went into the off season, our main goal, we had two main goals. Number one, we knew we had to get stronger and that we were going to get in the weight room. And then number two, that we were going to start with football. But, you know, we were going to do football every single day, whether it be 15 to 20 minutes of pre-practice. It wasn't your normal off season of maybe quick foot ladder, you know, flipping tires and things like that. We were going to be in the weight room. We may divide it up by inside hole, O-line, D-line, linebackers, secondary, where we the other 30 minutes of our workout could be 7-on-7. It may be inside hole. But we knew one thing, that we were going to do more football every single day. They were going to do individual offensive linemen. We're going to be going through movement, and we're going to be going through combo drills and zone drills. D linemen, we're going to be working about you know, their fits and their gap assignments and things like that. We knew from day one of off season, we came back on January 4th, that we were going to start working football. Wednesday was going to be an all day for football, and that we were going to start our Wednesday night meetings with our feeder school coaches, which we knew were crucial because we had a big amount of kids coming up in our programs, or our eighth graders going to be ninth graders. We wanted to make sure that our coaches knew that that's where it started at, was at the base level at seventh, eighth grade. We got coaches in place. And so we knew that we had a chance to be successful, but we knew that we had to achieve those two things. We were playing catch-up in the football department, and I really think that we had a great offseason.
Well, Coach, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to close now with our three questions segment.
Okay.
Now, which of you guys is in better or at least closer to playing shape, you or your brother Jadon, who is the player?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit bigger, a little bit heavier than he is, but we both work out and do a lot of things. I would like to have both of us on the team, but I would say me.
Yeah.
I think I'm built a little bit for a heavier, longer load. And I think it would also be what position you're looking for. But I would always choose me. But I can tell you this, he's much a competitor also.
He's one of the more physically fit coaches.
Yes, he is. He definitely takes pride in staying in shape.
We've asked this question to all the coaches. Which do you prefer, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, or Varsity Blues, the movie? Now, Bob Wager went off the reservation for either of those two choices, so feel free.
Well, I can tell you right now, I would probably go with Friday Night Lights, the movie, with Billy Bob Thornton. You know, me and my brother, we are originally from Odessa, and have a lot of family from Odessa, from the Permian Basin area, you know, and pretty much grew up in that thing, you know, going back and forth between Plano, moving to Plano when I was one, you know, living right across from South Fork there. Me and my brother, we all grew up with that Permian Basin with the Friday Night Lights and living that story. So I would always go with that. And another favorite movie of mine is always, you know, I enjoyed Remember the Titans because of, you know, people working together, teammates that may be different that work together, anything of adversity and guys that are joining together for a common cause and teamwork, that's something that I enjoy also. So Remembering the Titans is one of my favorites also.
Final question. Everybody,
yes,
looks, everybody looks at Allen and says, well, one of the reasons that they win is because they're a one-school town. If Plano had stayed a one-school town and had 12,000 high school students, how many consecutive state titles would the city of Plano have?
Well, I think it would be just as much, if not doubled. I truly believe that. We've got a lot of great players here in Plano, got a lot of good coaches here. I mean, I think back to a couple years ago when I was at West and we had Jamambo and Austin Anderson, and I probably had four or five offensive linemen that were Division I offensive linemen too. And any time that you think about that, you put those two guys together and you have depth, those are things that some people don't have to worry about, and that's, you know, somebody getting injured, losing somebody to grades. And it's always easy to say that, but I can tell you right now, when you have more people to choose from, you got a lot better chance of fielding 11 on each side plus depth to back that up. I still think there's a lot of things that goes into it, whether it be facilities, whether it be the money they pay, et cetera. But I know this, a lot of people come to Allen and see the stadium and other things that they have, and that's also something that draws them to that stadium. It's one of the reasons why I went with the chrome gold helmets the other night. I think anything that you can do to attract kids to your program, I think it's something you need to do.
4-0 Plano East. Coach Joey McCullough, thank you very much for joining the Sports Day HS Football Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, and hopefully Plano East will continue to roll, guys. I appreciate it.
All Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Part three. Quit rattling your papers, Greg Riddle. It's time for us to get on with the rest of the podcast. Part three. Man, week five's got some really, really good matchups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the start of district play for a lot of districts, you know, that are kind of picking up after a bye week. But I'm really excited about this slate of games. Matt.
Yes.
You are going to be at Flower Mound Marcus and Allen.
Right.
They're at Allen Eagle Stadium.
Correct.
That's going to be a tilt.
It will be a
Maybe.
Tilt. Well, I believe it will be, because I think Marcus is the kind of team that can keep just about anybody close, and that hasn't been a problem so far. They've just been beating people.
Right.
Both teams are 4-0. I guess number one priority, don't turn the ball over the way Plano did against Allen. You know, Allen will just run away that way. I'm not picking against Allen. They've won 47 in a row, and they're just rolling right now. But I think Marcus – At this point, looks like the number two team. You know, you could argue Plano East in that district. So we'll see what Marcus can do in this game. I think they're going to have to ball control it, which they're pretty good. And you know, third down, throw it to Caden Smith.
Right,
a great tight end.
First down, throw it to Caden Smith.
Right, right, as much as possible, and rely on that defense, which has just been shutting people down
during this playoff run or during this consecutive win streak run. You know, thanks to a quarterback named Kyler Murray. Marcus actually was one of the teams that really challenged them and played well.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily what they've been doing this year. They've thrown the ball a little bit better this year, but in years past, they were just grinding, first downs, keeping that offense off the field. And they might be able to replicate something like that this week, though. It'll be a good measuring stick. I don't think a lot of people are going to think that Marcus has much more than a puncher's chance to win this game. But it'll be interesting to see where they fit in, given how, Allen has looked, which is a juggernaut. A game that likely will decide District 4-6A, and that is Arlington-Martin and Arlington-Lamar. That'll be at Cravens Field on Friday night. Martin,
Bowie's playing a lot better.
Bowie is playing better, but, Martin certainly looked like the favorite coming in, but they've stumbled as of late. Lamar is unbeaten, but hasn't necessarily played tremendously well. Given how well these teams have dominated their district opponents in recent years, you'd have to like the winner of this taking the district title.
Yeah, an excellent quarterback play from Arlington Lamar, too, from their Texas commit quarterback, Shane Bouchelle.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure how you pronounced it, but yeah, that's going to be a great matchup.
Not a Rangers fan, Avi Zalen.
Right.
Shane Bouchelle's dad was a longtime Rangers third baseman.
Oh.
Steve
Bouchelle. And a fan favorite, boo, as people would like to exclaim.
So he got booed as a compliment?
Yes.
He did.
All right.
Yeah. Just kind of like all of what they do in all of Baltimore's teams is boo compliments, right?
No. Okay. That's only when the Yankees take over Camden Yards, whenever that series happens, and it becomes Yankee Stadium South.
That's
but,
so
you know.
Tangent.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Come on.
Okay, the rest
we
of
we needed it.
Okay, so let's go Thursday night games. Saxe Garland, big game.
That's a very good game.
Waxahachie Lake Ridge, big game. How about Denton Ryan and Keller Central? That could be a big game. Keller Central, has got one loss. Denton Ryan's unbeaten.
Denton Ryan's one of those teams that's been a surprise this year, at least a mild surprise, because I knew they'd be better, but they're 4-0.
Yeah, that game's Friday, by the way. I messed that up.
Okay.
A Thursday night game, Denton Geyer and Keller.
Mm.
That should be a real good game.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Tutt.
Yeah, Tyler Tutt, and you've got Sean Robinson, who I think is bound for a breakout game.
Yeah.
TCU pledge. Greg Riddle is rubbing his hands together and hoping for
soon.
Some success.
We'll have someone to replace Boykin when he leaves.
There you go.
Who?
Whoa. Friday night action. That Frisco Centennial game starts at 7. Get there early, probably be done by 8:45.
If you get there at 7:30, it might have been 30 or 40
points
scored already.
It'll be at halftime. if you get there at 7:30. Other Friday night games. Here's a game I'm certainly keeping an eye on. I saw Coach Mike Robinson in the press box there at AT&T Stadium. Highland Park hosts North Mesquite.
I think that's a really big game because North Mesquite is undefeated, haven't played a lot of real strong teams, but they made an entrance into our rankings, which makes many Mesquite fans happy because they were asking me last week, do you realize that North Mesquite is 3-0?
We realize it, and but they haven't really played a tremendously tough
schedule.
But
this is, if you're talking about a kind of a coming-of-age program, Highland Park's a little down this year, and this is
not
a chance.
Not in our rankings, which is kind of crazy.
And North Mesquite really has a shot. They are playing at Scotland Yard.
Yeah.
Or Highlander.
Highlander. Scotland Yard is baseball. Yeah. The Highlander Stadium, which is used to be the unbeatable stomping grounds, and now they are on a no-game winning streak after losing to
They've
Pulaski.
Had many opportunities, yeah.
Highlander also a movie, one. I believe.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, time travel and swords and such.
All right.
Lake Dallas and Grapevine, interesting matchup there. Mm-hmm. Grapevine. I talked to Randy Jackson earlier last week, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know if we're gonna be able to match up with Arlington Heights," and then they end up beating him. Lake Dallas will certainly provide a test, but here's a potential district decider as well, and that's McKinney North and Wiley East at Wiley ISD Stadium. Should be a tremendous matchup between Eno Benjamin, the running back for Wiley East, and Justin Madubuike. And Justin this past weekend committed to Texas A&M as if they needed more defensive linemen. I don't know if you caught that performance against Nevada, but you had, I believe it was 2.5 sacks from Miles Garrett, and then you had Daylon Mack from Gladewater just blowing up the quarterback and the running back when someone decides that we shouldn't block this 6'6". Or 6'5", 300.
He's easy to miss.
Yeah, he's just a guy right in the middle as a three technique.
The Mack truck.
And then you've got Deshaun Hall playing well. And all those guys are young, will be back. Madubuike will certainly add a tremendous amount of talent. And supposedly, the University of Texas message boards, when I was talking to some recruiting guys over the week, they were crying tears for losing that guy. And they need it. Their defense certainly is a sieve. But that is another tangent as well. Two big games out of this district, and that's Terrell and Rockwall Heath at Rockwall's Wilkerson-Sanders Stadium and Mesquite Poteet and West Mesquite. So that, I believe, I tried to call Steve Bragg this morning, could not get him, but I believe that's the opening of Mesquite Memorial, the reopening after their big renovation. Mm-hmm. 14-5A games of note, Summit and Legacy square off. We'll see how good Legacy really is. And then Timberview and Lancaster. Can Lancaster bounce back? They're hosting that at Beverly D. Humphrey Tiger Stadium there in Lancaster. But they need a win, and they're coming off of two losses, but granted to really good teams in Trinity and Lake Ridge. Some smaller schools or some non-district games. How about South Lake Carroll at Abilene will be a tough matchup. And then your 4A matchup, Paris, unbeaten, goes to Argyle.
I always think of that Carroll Abilene. That was the one that broke what was Carroll's 49 game streak. They went out there
playoff
in the playoffs.
Game.
Riley Dodge, I think he suffered a Tony Romo like injury and was out. Some kind of injury that took him out, and they lost on couldn't get like a snap down for a field goal.
Well, I saw that game last year, that was a pretty solid win for Carroll at home. We'll see if they can do it on the road against Abilene, who's playing well. And Abram Smith, their running back, is back from an ACL tear and has had a strong showing thus far. Any other thoughts for week five? I think that if you at all like Texas high school football, man, there's a game somewhere in your area that has some serious significance.
This is a really loaded week. I'm afraid that we may have a dud week coming up because there's so many good games this week.
Matt Wixon's calling Texas High School football the dud week.
Well, there's got to be a week when the district favorite's playing the last place team.
There has to be.
There has to be.
I think that's
logically,
how it always works out.
It has to happen that way.
Well, go out and catch a game, everybody. For Greg Riddle, Avi Zalin, Matt Wixon, I am Corbett Smith. Thanks for listening to the Sports Day HS podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, please do that. That would be nice. We would like it. Thanks.
Do that.